let's go back and read the guys that sat at the feet of like Paul and John and Peter. Mm-hmm. And like, let's actually read those guys. And then let's read the people that sat under their feet and got taught by them.
Welcome to Church Media HQ. I am glad that you have joined me this week. My name is Luke Clayton. I am your host. And before we get started, I do hope that you'll take a moment to subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. And if you really want to be awesome, take a moment to share this with another church leader who you think could benefit from our content. I also want to let you know that right now our Christmas content is officially available. We've got over 80 minutes of Christmas themed video footage. We've got graphics. We've even got print artwork so that you can get banners, invite cards, things like that printed. And this is all available as part of our Christmas media kit. You can access this at churchmediahq.com/Christmas. That's churchmediahq.com/Christmas. The best part about these, perhaps, is that they are one of the few times of year we offer our products and services available for a one-time cost. There's no subscription required. So again, to take advantage of this, head over to churchmediahq.com/Christmas. Get your Christmas media kit today at churchmediahq.com/Christmas. Today's guest is Connor Smith, and Connor serves as a pastor in the city of Paris, California, and he has been a pastor now for several years. So I'm not going to talk too much about the conversation. I'm just going to get right to it. So here is my conversation with Connor Smith. Nobody out there, I can't think of a pastor or a Christian out there who would argue they say, hey, when you say don't put your hope in man, well, absolutely don't. But I would take that step further and say, don't put your hope in tradition and don't put your hope in reverting back to, like you said, a culture of yesteryear, because there were positive things about it, but there were certainly negative things as well. And so, you know, if you believe the, because I do, I mean, I know people, unfortunately, who believe the hope for the future of America and for Christianity is to go back. And like you said, but go back. I mean, if you want to maybe cherry pick some of that, sure. But, you know, there is no culture or tradition that is flawless and that we put our hope in. Our hope is in the gospel and Jesus Christ. So there's my sermonette, and I'm going to let you continue.
I think it's good. And that's why, so when I say that I'm actually wanting to bring us back to tradition, I mean, like, let's go back and read the guys that sat at the feet of like Paul and John and Peter. Hmm. And like, let's actually read those guys. And then let's read the people that sat under their feet and got taught by them. So now we're actually able to do, and you can do this. Like there are, you can go to a library, go to your nearest seminary, go online. A lot of it's available totally for free. And you can actually look at this, like there's a guy in our church that I love to just nerd out on theology with. And he calls it just the theological chain of custody, where he's like, look at how they actually did this. And so when we look at the great tradition of church history, we actually see that there are still people today that practice in a very similar way, church services and those kinds of things, to the way they did in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth centuries. And so, for instance, we're walking our church right now through the Apostles' Creed. And that's going to be something that I don't know that we'll start saying it every week when I'm done with this series, although we are right now. But we'll probably will say it at least at a minimum once a month when this is over. Not because we're magicians that believe in incantations and like that's somehow going to save you, but we're okay with standing up and saying like the Pledge of Allegiance, right? With a ton of strangers at a ball game where people are drunk and scarfing nachos down out of a hat, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're cool with doing that and singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game with a bunch of randos and then saying the Pledge of Allegiance, putting the right hand over our heart and singing the national anthem. And I'm cool with all of that. I think it's fun. I think it's awesome. I think there's a patriotism that I love and that gets me going. I'm come from like seven generations of military men. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I think it's awesome. But why are we more okay with singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game with some drunk strangers at a ballpark, or singing the Pledge of Allegiance at a cemetery with a bunch of veterans that we've never met before, than we are with standing up with our fellow Christians and stating, here's what we believe? You can believe more than this, but you can't believe less than this. Hmm. Because nobody is naive enough to think that the Pledge of Allegiance or the national anthem contains all that we are as Americans, or contains the full exposition of the Constitution of the United States. We're saying, no, it's a summary. It's a quick way of saying, this is who we are. This is what we believe. There's more to it than this, but there's not less than this. Yeah. And so for us, we're like, that's exactly what we're doing with the Apostles' Creed. And that's just one example of many that we could get into of kind of where I'm trying to take us.
I would take it a step further and say that it is interesting to see that there are churches who on a Memorial Day weekend or July 4th weekend will even, you know, sing the national anthem in church and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. But yeah, then they'd be uncomfortable doing something like reciting the Apostles' Creed or whatever. And that's a whole other topic. But, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, like I'm not one of these like fully like, you know, there's this, and we're not going to get into that debate of where patriotism belongs in the church. And I'm not going to tell people how to do that. But at the same time,
really quick about that.
Yeah. You can go for it.
One cool statement that I heard that I thought was really great. And I won't say who said it. I'll just admit that it's not my words, because everybody's plagiarism is a hot button issue right now too, apparently. And he said, look, on 4th of July, for example, I hope that you go out, you wear your red, white, and blue. I hope you go out and sing the national anthem and say the Pledge of Allegiance and sing God Bless America and listen to all the Toby Keith patriotic songs and blow up some things with some fire. I hope you do all of it.
Merca.
As soon as the church service is over. That's it. Then church service is over.
Yeah.
Wait till 11:30 or 12 o'clock. Then go get some hot dogs, put on your flip flops, your shorts, and your red, white, and blue. Take the cute family picture, and then go do all the things that make you do hashtag America. And I love that stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's a place to worship Jesus, and there's a place to honor the country that you live in.
Yeah.
The place to honor the country you live in is not where we're meant, where we've set aside this place specifically for the purpose of worshiping Jesus.
Yeah.
So anyway,
no, I think that is a valid point. And then I would even apply that to just for those out there, so they don't get so, you know, offended that we're, you know, now we're communists, you know, so they don't get offended that we're anti-patriots or whatever. I would say that applies to any type of thing for example, obviously Easter and Christmas, well, those are Christ-centric. Okay, so make your services all about those days. But even Mother's Day, I love my mom, and I'm all about like, hey, let's say, hey, if you're a mom here, stand. Okay, we love you, mom. We have a little gift for you later. That's great.
Exactly.
Yep, you know, exactly but you know, that's the same reason we won't, you know, necessarily center a whole service on mothers and fathers or whatever on those days.
I won't do that.
So again, I'm okay with, hey, it's Memorial Day weekend. Hey, if you serve, stand, clap. Yay. We love you. July 4th. Yay. Okay. Hey, you know, but yeah. Okay. So
my pastoral prayer, like I made sure there's a whole section in there where I thank God for the freedoms in spite of our imperfections kind of a deal. On Veterans Day, we honor veterans. And on Memorial Day, we show a video usually because it's honoring those that have fallen. So obviously nobody to stand. In the service. And then July 4th, we just make sure in prayer to thank God for our nation, but we don't deck out our auditorium, because I think if an unbeliever walks into our auditorium, especially in a community like ours, that's 75-80% immigrants. When they walk into the service, if our whole auditorium is red, white, and blue, I think they're going to struggle, and they're not used to church. I think they're going to struggle with figuring out who it is we worship.
And I
think we just have to be very careful about it. It has nothing to do with my lack of love for my country. I love my country.
Well, I want to take a break before we finish this part of the conversation by reminding you once again about our Church Media HQ Christmas Media Kit. Now, this again contains over 80 minutes of Christmas themed video footage, and the videos have become kind of the flagship feature, if you will, of what we have to offer. See, these videos tell five unique stories, and I've seen churches take a couple approaches. I've seen churches present one of these video narratives all during one Christmas service. I've also seen churches take these and present these over a series of worship services throughout the Christmas holiday season, and show a different piece of the video every week to keep people coming back to hear the next piece of this is hear and see rather the next piece of the story. I've also seen some churches take the footage contained in these videos and use them to craft and create their own stories. Really, no matter how your church chooses to use this video content, I just look forward to seeing your creativity and how your church applies them at your in your services and in your worship experience this Christmas season. So you can get your Christmas media kit at churchmediahq.com/Christmas. That's churchmediahq.com/Christmas. And this is one of the only times that you can actually get resources from Church Media HQ without a subscription. This kit is available for just a one-time cost, and you can get that at churchmediahq.com/Christmas. There's no subscription required. Get your Christmas media kit for a one-time cost at churchmediahq.com/Christmas. Now let's get back to the conversation. And I'm in a different part of the country, and that would not necessarily be as much of a concern here in the Southeast.
Exactly.
But like that's I true. Said, I think it goes back to whether it's July 4th or whether it's Father's Day, put it in its right perspective, because at the end of the day, your worship service should be about worshiping God and Jesus. And so anyways, yeah, we did get on that, but I'll let you continue.
So I kind of touched briefly on techniques, and that was the thing about the tradition. So are we talking about 1950s tradition? Or are we talking about like the actual Christian tradition that's existed for 2000 years and doesn't exist in a vacuum? But when it comes to theology, so things that I don't know that we've changed anything yet, although if our church members watch this, it might raise some questions. But for instance, in our new member class, there's nothing in our constitution that says I have to give our constitution to anybody, nothing. So I don't, because our constitution contains our statement of faith in it. And I think our statement of faith has a lot of issues. For me, a statement of faith is saying you can't, for instance, the Apostles' Creed, we're saying this is baseline Christianity. This is fundamental Christianity, if you want to call it that. You can be a Christian and believe more than this, but you cannot call yourself a Christian and believe less than this. You deny the virgin birth, you're not a Christian. You deny the deity of God the Son or God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, you're probably not a Christian. You know, so on and so forth. However, And so a statement of faith at a church, we're not saying that you can't be a Christian and not agree with this, but we are saying you can't be a member of our church if you disagree with this. Mm-hmm. We got things in our statement of faith like dispensationalism.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, but the word didn't even exist 120 years ago. Are we saying then that for 1800 plus years that people weren't Christians or people weren't, like, they had their theology kind of out of whack? I think that's not true.
Yeah.
I'm okay if you're a dispensationalist to an extent. But to make that in our statement of faith, that's insane to me.
Yeah. I would probably go as far as saying some of those things you're talking about like that in a statement of faith is actually probably drifting more into the tradition side. This is traditionally what our church has held to. But it's not core theology, you know, and there's a lot of example. I mean, I would say that eschatology is in that. Some people are mid-trib, post-trib, but okay. Look, at the end of the day, it's not going to change whether you are saved or not of what you believe on that.
We're going to know everything we need to know about eschatology as soon as it happens.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Whatever it is, it's going to be great.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, I heard somebody the other day, they were talking about, because they were actually talking about in another topic, they were in a debate with somebody about old earth versus new earth and whatever. And somebody spoke up and said, hey, you know what? We get really wrapped up in how it all started and how it all ends. What we need to be focusing on is how it all happens right now and how we can, you know, basically, I'm butchering their quote, but I mean, the way they said it, articulated, it was very interesting.
The Old Testament is not vague about it, though. The point is very, very clear. And the point is not to make something that was written 6,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago or whatever, when Moses penned Genesis. The point was not to solve 21st century scientific debates.
Yeah.
You think that's what Moses was doing? Like, that was his ego? That's what the Holy Spirit was inspiring him to do, was to argue with Christopher Hitchens or Bill Nye the Science Guy? Come on now.
Yeah.
We have better things to do.
Yeah.
There is a very basic point, and it's this. God did it all.
Yep.
It's all his.
Yep.
It's why I love the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Really poetic way of saying he did it all. He made it all. Everything's his. There's not, or as Abraham Kuyper said, there's not one square inch in the entire universe for which God does not point to and declare mine. It's his. Yeah. He made it. He's responsible for it. I don't care what science comes up with. Not saying that I think faith and science are at odds, because I don't believe that. If science comes up with any verifiable scientific method facts, all that's going to do for me, and there's a book called The Lost World of Genesis 1 that says this really well, where he says, all that would do, there's nothing in science that's going to shake my faith. All it would ever do is tell me, wow, that's how God did it. How cool. That's a great way of seeing it.
Yeah.
Like, now I know. Yeah. Now I know the specifics of how he did it. And if I don't know that, I still know that God did it. So it doesn't really matter.
and all this is just so, I do find to have these conversations is really important, because we can't get so hung up, because there are people, man, they get hung up on these different facets and these different things. And it's like, whoa, back it up, man. Like that really, like, again, if you want to hold that as some type of personal tradition, conviction, whatever you want to call it, go for it. But, you know, if you want to really spend your time and energy and life debating this and making it and whatever, I don't really see what that accomplishes. And I definitely don't see what that accomplishes for the cause of Christ, you know?
Right. And so, like, so when it comes to eschatology, when it comes to, creationism and all that kind of stuff, again, I'm going to take them back. This is why I think the great tradition is so important. And when I say that, I can almost draw this arrow between great tradition and theology, because it is that, where I can't do that with the 1950s culture thing that we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Because what you're wanting us to get back to is a specific culture. Yeah. But Christianity is so much bigger than one individual culture. And that's why I love the great tradition, you know, big tent theology that I was talking about, because it allows for different cultures. It allows for differences in those kinds of things. But we still have some baseline things, like and that's why I love the Apostles' Creed. I think you can use other things. You can use the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, and we could talk about all that too. It's something I'm really nerding out on right now. I'm focusing that for my thesis in seminary, and thinking about pursuing education beyond that, maybe down the road. But
are you working on a master's right now?
I'm working on a master's with a thesis at Gateway Seminary right now.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't think this means we don't ever look into this stuff. I think it's worthwhile to read. Like, I love those four view books and three view books that show you, like, here's a four views on Revelation. Here's four views on end times. Here's four views or three views on creation. Here's three views on the Holy Spirit. Here's all these, there's a whole series of them that are so helpful, because they take guys that are experts in each of the, and hold to each of those specific views. They represent them very well from somebody that considers himself an expert in it. And then let you go for it after that. Hmm. And maybe you end up landing on one of them, or maybe you end up going, I think they all made really valid points. And when I was in the middle of reading each of them, I was like, I think that's what I am. And then you got to the next one, like, no, I think that's what I am. And so maybe we get to a point where we're just like, I don't know that it matters all that much to come to a strong position. Mm-hmm. But again, I think it's also okay to come to a position, as long as it doesn't take away from the gospel. And sometimes we can get so caught up in these things that it does that. It takes away from death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. God created everything. Man screwed it up through sin and stands in judgment. Jesus came to solve that problem, died on the cross, and rose again and ascended into heaven. We simply need to respond in repentance and faith. Mm-hmm. That's it. And so the Apostles' Creed, again, is really helpful for that, because what does it tell us about creation? He's the creator of heaven and earth. You don't believe that? You're not a Christian. You're a heretic. We're done with the conversation. Yeah. I don't think you're a Christian. You can't be a member of our church if you don't think God did it.
Yeah.
Well, what if I'm not sure exactly how God did it? And that's fine. We've got people on our elder board that are young earth and some that are old earth. What about the pre-tribulational rapture? Again, very, very, very new position. And if that's what you want to hold, fine. As long as that doesn't make you a Chicken Little kind of a person. The sky is falling and everything's bad and it's just horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, makes it us against the world and kind of a deal. Because the Apostles' Creed goes, he ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the throne of God, the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. He's absolutely coming back, literally, physically, bodily. He's coming back. Yep. You deny that, we got a problem. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, don't really care what your position is on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as you're not going to divide my church over it, you can have your position.
Yeah. So what I'm finding here, and it's what I had a feeling we would discover, is there is a lot of stuff, and I would just challenge anybody who's watching, listening, whatever. I would say what you're going to discover is that what what you may be holding, if you will, as theology, might actually need to slip into tradition. And maybe what you're holding as tradition actually needs to slip into technique. Well, we're going to dive into the next part of the conversation with Connor on next week's episode. And until then, I want to give one more plug, at least on this episode, for our Christmas media kit. And you can get that at churchmediahq.com/Christmas. That's churchmediahq.com/Christmas. And I do want to remind you once again, be sure to subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts. I also want to give a special shout out for our YouTube channel. You can subscribe to the Must Increase YouTube channel at youtube.com/MustIncrease. If you do that, you're going to get every video version of Church Media HQ, but you're also going to get every episode of the other show on the Must Increase Network, Connection Culture. So if you subscribe on YouTube at youtube.com/MustIncrease, you will get all episodes of both of our shows. So I do hope that you'll take a moment to subscribe on YouTube specifically right now. Well, as I mentioned, Church Media HQ is a production of the Must Increase Network. And in addition to subscribing to our YouTube channel, you can visit mustincrease.com to learn all about what we do for families and churches to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others using the power of media. And until next time, I want to remind your church that it's time for you to try something new. Why? Well, because it's so much better to try doing something that really could be incredible than to continue to succeed at doing something that's just average. We'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.